Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we have glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and also a calendar of events. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions you might have. I've got a list of announcements just to walk you through today to let you know annual reports. The 2017 annual reports are available. They're located on a table there in the hallway, and it'll be next Sunday that we will share together in a potluck down in Fellowship Hall. And after everyone's had a chance to get a bit of food, we will have our annual congregational meeting. Next Sunday is also when we will ordain and install our elders, deacons, and trustees. So we invite you all to be a part of that. A lot happening next Sunday, but a look at today. Everyone is welcome following worship today to join me in the adult lounge, where we'll be having a sermon talk back, a fairly informal conversation, something in the sermon that caught your attention or imagination. You have questions or want to talk further, join together and we'll have those conversations. Also, please note our senior highs are on retreat today. But junior highs, I believe today is when you've got some movie action going on. So take a look for exact times in your bulletin. One other announcement, Todd.
Good morning. Just a reminder, February 16th at 7:05 is our GPC night with the Amricks. The tickets are $15. I will be selling them in the worship hall, or in the fellowship hall, excuse me, until the 4th of February, and handing out those tickets on the 11th of February. So please see me and join us for that night. Thank you.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together.
please stand for the call of worship. Holy God, we come together in the silence of your contrast and reliable presence. Sacred Presence, we come together in the silence for you, O God, our security. Unshakable God, we come together in all the activities of worship for you, our rock, our fortress, our refuge at all times, for in God we find the real home of our heart.
In the midst of the noise, confusion, and chaos of life, our souls long for quiet. God longs for us to return to that safe place found in the presence of our Lord, trusting in our refuge-providing God. Let us pour out our hearts before the Holy One. God of salvation, we seek refuge in all the wrong places. We place our confidence in taking things from others instead of delighting in with what we receive from you. We set our hopes on fame and worldly possessions instead of relying on your grace and steadfast love. Almighty Deliverer, rescue us from our delusions. Save us from our foolish choices and guide us in the better way. When we repent, our God relents, lifting us beyond the pain, restoring us to safety, protecting us in the refuge of eternal love. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning. Want to come down this way? Let's see. How about I am going to have you guys, do you guys want to face this way? And I'll have Mrs. Priestley come over here and sit on the pew. It is much easier to get up, I assure you. I'm the one who falls down. Cold.
Okay. Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And that's exactly right. The Bible does tell us that God loves us. But how else do we know that we're loved? What are some ways that you can think of that you know that you're loved, that somebody loves you and cares about you? Okay? Yes, yes, very true. Anything else somebody can think of? Well, those were just the things. Oh, there's another. Oh, that's a wonderful one. And you know, I love hugs, don't you? Yeah, they just feel so good. Great. So, your parents, you know, love you? Your grandparents? Mm-hmm, absolutely. Or they give you a nice smacker right on your cheek. Doesn't that feel good? That's right. So your parents and your grandparents love you. Your friends love you. Your other relatives, like your aunts and your uncles and your cousins. And of course, Jesus loves you, right? But not only that. He tells us that we need to love other people. So, who are some people that you love? Who do you love? Yes, of course. Anybody else? Go right ahead. So, and probably you also love the person that makes it for you. No. Who? Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Nobody? Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. It's good. And sometimes, even if we don't get along, maybe we'll have an argument or a disagreement now and then. But you still love them, right? Yeah, you still love them. That's absolutely right. You guys are so smart. Well, that's what Jesus tells us that we should do. That we should love lots and lots of different people. Our family, our friends, people that we go to school with. Yes. Well, let's say some prayers then to thank God and thank Jesus for the ways that he loves us and ways that he can teach us to love other people. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, let's have a little prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much that you love us. Help us to love other people and to be kind and thoughtful. Amen. Thank you. You can go to your classes now.
Reading of the words, Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be though as they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away.
the second reading of the word today, you're going to need your hymnal. So if you would, grab your hymnal and turn to page 843. We are going to speak and sing the hymn responsively. You'll see it printed there. We'll remain seated as we do so. John's going to play through the refrain once. We will sing the refrain once, and then you'll see there on the page that we will read the psalm responsively with the congregation joining in the bold sections. Let us worship God. Comes my salvation. God is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be greatly shaken. Assail me, to crush me, all of you together as you would a leaning fence, a toppling wall. They seek only to bring me down from my place of honor. Lies are their chief delight. They bless with their lips, but in their hearts they curse. My hope is in God. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken. In God is my safety, my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Your trust in God always, O people. Pour out your hearts before God, who is our refuge. Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Even those of low estate cannot be trusted. On the scales they are lighter than a breath, all of them together. Put no trust in extortion. In robbery, take no empty pride. Though wealth increase, set not your heart upon it. Has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God.
Steadfast love is yours, O Lord.
One of the things that I love about the Psalms is that they are one of the most comprehensive collections of God's people engaging in very real conversations with God. Through hymns and liturgy and poems, we hear profound praise to the utterance of unspeakable anger and doubt. Essentially, the entire gamut of experiencing life and being in relationship with God is there. And what's also nice about the Psalms is they're organized in a pretty straightforward way. If you're looking for that psalm of joy and praise, usually the first verse will give you a clue that you have found one. I will praise you, O Lord, or sing joyfully to the Lord, they'll begin. And it's true also for those psalms of lament. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Or how long, O Lord, will you forget me? And then there are the Psalms of Thanksgiving. They operate in a similar fashion. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. And so it's interesting that this Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, offers just a slight different perspective on how we approach engaging and understanding, reflecting in our hearts and minds the Psalms, especially as they connect to the seasons of our everyday lives. He talks about the Psalms instead of praise and lament and thanksgiving as orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. So those psalms of orientation are those that when life is good and everything is right in the world, God is perceived as reliable and trustworthy, stable and good. And then those seasons of disorientation, those times of extreme suffering and pain, these are the seasons when our life just changed in an instant. We don't ever want or desire these seasons for our lives, and when we're in them, we don't want to be there. We also know we can't return to what is now an old and defunct orientation without giving up a serious part of who we are. But what captures my attention here is what Dr. Brueggemann does with these Psalms of Thanksgiving, how he refers to them as Psalms of reorientation. You see, these are the Psalms that recognize the struggle and the pain and the trouble, and they know that there's a way beyond it, but not around it. We've all got to go through it. And these Psalms of reorientation recognize what I think most of us find to be true about life, is that the forces of fear and uncertainty in these times, they really jostle us. They cause part of ourselves even sometimes to just fall apart. But even in those feelings of feeling like we have completely fallen apart, we still hang on. Cling to every little bit and glimmer of hope that in the midst of that, God is faithful and will provide the power and the strength that we need to make it through. For the most part, this reorientation is difficult to put words on. And normally the psalmist doesn't even try. Simply that when we experience life in this way, we know that it orients us back to the life-giving, resurrecting Exodus God who gives joy, for sackcloth replaces mourning with dancing and leads us along those still waters. And so just naturally our response is to give thanks, to praise God. Oh, absolutely. But let's be honest. Sometimes we are hungry for a bit more direction. We know the best way is through the difficult times, but we stop, we pause, we ask God, oh, how? Be silent, my soul, for God. I believe what is happening here in Psalm 62 offers us a rare and just momentary glimpse to the how. And personally, this really couldn't come at a better time. As of late, my soul has been struggling with this how of getting through and exactly what silence looks like in my life. Because those struggles begin every morning in the obvious sorts of ways, right? I get up and I hear the low hum of appliances, the on again, off again cycle of the heat, the snow plows barreling down the street and the wind blowing against the loose gutter on the side of my house, all before I even roll out of bed. And the near silence quickly gives way to the noisy news repeating morning headlines, the clamor of email and text messages and social media posts. And once the morning gets going, it's almost impossible for me to switch it off. And then I get those few minutes after Lily's gotten on the bus and before Nora gets out of bed, that I sit at my kitchen table, oh, with my morning cup of coffee, and I watch out the back window for a rare glimpse of the Rochester sun as it makes its way over the horizon. And just for a moment, I recall the words of the psalmist again, that for God alone, my soul waits in silence. But this week, I held those words in tension alongside of those of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, whose life we honored, and who a half century ago said that history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. Our generation will have to repent, not only for the words and acts of the children of darkness, but the fears and apathy of children of light. And my emotional and spiritual landscape quivers and shakes at the opportunity to just hold space and to join voices with those who refuse to remain silent in the face of hatred and violence against people of color and women and refugees and immigrants. Sometimes it takes me so long to find that center again, to settle into the stillness of God's presence, to come down from the high of addiction to others' opinions and the incessant input, the stress-producing adrenaline and ever-present anxiety of this world in which we live still today. How long will the anxiety and fear rule our lives, the psalmist wonders. How long will fear assail us, batter us, as if we are all just these unstable structures, leaning walls and tottering fences? You can hear the lack of confidence that the psalmist has that he or she is even going to make it through. Because everything that seemed strong and confident and real, dependable and sure, is crumbling around them. Whether it's the career that showed so much promise, the child that seemed so exceptional, the nation that appeared so strong, the man we thought we could trust, there is shifting, there is shaking. And they are mere delusions, says the psalmist. It is incredible the way in which this psalm has the ability to reach back through time, connecting us with a people who lived so long ago, long before the contemporary noises of today, and is able to point to this shared struggle of our lack of confidence that we too will make it through our present time. But then the author reorients us with this calm assurance in the foundation that God alone is worthy of trust. And what spoke to me through this psalm is the honest acknowledgement of this back and forth, this movement, this reorientation, this tension that exists. And the coming back again and again to the space of silence, to rest in the power of God. And it's not this just mere wishful thinking of someone who feels assaulted by the forces beyond their control. No, trust in God does not come from naivete or sticking our heads in the proverbial sand or refusing to look reality in the face. There is not one hint of escapism in the trust in God of this psalmist. No. Instead, there is space, silence, a moment to breathe deeply, to remember who we are and why we are, that we are children of God, called to love God, to love our neighbors and ourselves, and that's the core from which we live our lives in this world. And the silence can help us ground ourselves again and open us to the space to consider what this looks like in the everyday. But I wonder how, it's a very wordy sort of person that I am, how can not thinking or making lists or otherwise worrying about all the big stuff going on in our lives, how is that going to help us move? I was reminded that by opening up space, we have thought a little bit more about reading a book. I do every night and every morning, and I wondered what it would be like to read a book without spaces between the words. Have you ever done it? You can do it, I assure you, but it's a lot harder. And you often find yourself slogging through jumbled, garbled messes, worried that somewhere back a few words you made a mistake. How much easier it would be with a few spaces. And silence can help us build this kind of space, creating that separation and room, pulling things apart so we can better see the aspects of fear that dwell within us, particularly when facing difficult and struggling time, engaging the world around us. And one author suggests that in resting from the noise and chaos of our lives, we can actually discover what is asking for our attention at a deeper level. We can tend to the insistent yearnings that are these promptings from God. And we can discover the infinite deep space between the words of our lives. As we stop, we listen, we wait, and we begin to sort through possibilities. We allow ourselves to be centered in the unshakable presence of God, who is our rock, our refuge. Are thrashing around in the winds of life, and our current time is going to continue. But we also know that the rhythm and time of being reoriented to the steadfast love of God is before us. We may even notice when help and guidance is offered. We may begin to catch ourselves before we act in ways that hurt others and ourselves. Gradually, we'll be less inclined to do everything under the illusion of being completely in control and thinking we know everything there is to know. And we will have made those first steps toward a silence, a space that is not empty of the struggle, but filled with the strength and steadfast love of God, now and always. Amen. we gather in this space, in the silence and the sounds of praising God, we bring all of who we are. And we bring the prayers that rest on our hearts, those of joy and those of concern, and we share them aloud so that we can gather in prayer together as a community. If you have a prayer to share, raise your hand, and an usher will bring a microphone to you, and we'll start over here. Let us know who you are.
Paula Sousa. A few weeks ago, I asked you for prayers for a gentleman that was my piano tuner. His wife had been in a coma for 8 weeks. Well, she died last Monday, and Scott's health is not improving. In fact, it's deteriorating, so please keep him in your prayers. Thanks.
Continued prayers for Scott, those community that surrounds him.
Jim Poole, just a prayer of thanks for the violinist this morning. It is definitely a tool of serenity.
Amen.
Sally Christensen, please continue prayers for my mom up at Edna Tina Living Center. She's not doing real well. And prayers this week for a very close friend who is going in for surgery for colon cancer on Thursday.
Prayers for your mom and your friends.
Tess McKeel, I have a joy. I'd like to wish my mom a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Jan Brewer, a prayer for a neighbor across the street who lost her son to cancer. He's young, and she's, you know, you shouldn't lose your children.
Prayers for your neighbor.
Christy Stewart, just asking for prayers for all that are furloughed because of the shutdown. Our son-in-law, John, is one of them, and it's very hard to hear that you're not going to have any income, and you don't know how long that's going to last. So prayers for our government.
Any prayers needed for our government?
I'm back.
Hi, Paula.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I also asked for prayers for my sister-in-law, who's now going to Roswell for the treatment of her cancer.
Anna Drake, prayers for Fran Henderson, who is recovering from pneumonia, and a pacemaker was installed, so we all need to pray for Fran.
Prayers for Fran. And also prayers this morning, I received a phone call from Irene Derry, and she asked that I share with you that Peter is currently up at Strong Hospital. They believe that he had a stroke, and they're determining how he's doing. But she said that he's laughing and telling jokes with the nurses, so that is definitely a good sign. But please keep your Peter Derry and also Irene in your prayers. And from our children this morning, they also ask for your prayers, for joy, for birthday parties, for volleyball tournaments, Disneyland over February break, for joy of traveling to Toronto, for joy of an event where I got to cuddle with dogs. That sounds like a great event. What a joy. Prayers of joy for birthdays in Miami. Prayers of worry for a little brother. I'm not sure about that one. We'll leave that one off. Every now and then, messages to God come in all sorts of forms, including our prayers and our silence. Let us join together. God of power and majesty, you have demonstrated to us so many times and in so many ways strength of your holy being. You also abide with us to show us that you are our refuge in times of stress and anxiety. You invite us to pour out our hearts to you, O God, and share all the joys and sorrows of our lives. And we seek guidance and help from you. In the quietness of our inner being, we pause to worship and praise you, O God. We come to you in the busyness of life with all conflicting demands, and we take time to listen to your words of gracious love and eternal mercy towards a struggling humanity. Help us, O God, to recognize the blessings of your unfailing love and mercy. Comfort us now, O God, that we can understand how strong your foundation is, and we continue to give thanks that we can trust in your security and your peace, for you are our hope, our joy, now and always. We pray together, offering the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us offer back to God a portion of what God has entrusted us to care for as we receive this morning's offering.
Holy God, steadfast rock of all salvation, we marvel in the strength of your compassion and your ability to offer forgiveness. We come to you hungry to be a part of the good news you are bringing forth, for we would be part of the realm you are revealing. Amen.
As God's people, we go out into this world to live indeed as the people of God in all the messiness and struggle, the noise and the silence. May we find the rhythm of God's grace. God, who is our rock and refuge, Jesus Christ, who is our salvation, and the Holy Spirit that guides us all along the way, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.